Okay, today's daf is Pei Vav. We're continuing on stories. We're going to get back to the Gemara, but from there they're going to veer off again to the Mishnah, and then we're going to go back to some words in the Mishnah, but then it's going to be a teaser because we're actually going to get back to stories and drashot again. We'll talk a little bit more today about some themes that come up in these cases, in these stories. We had the story about Rabbi Chiya yesterday, that there was this guy who got to see Rabbi Chiya. This guy got to see Rabbi Chiya up in Shamayim, and because of that, his eyes were singed. So now we're up to about 12 lines from the bottom in the middle of the line. Eliyahu. Eliyahu hava shachiach b'metivta de Rebbe. Eliyahu used to frequent the yeshiva of Rebbe. Yom achad resha yarcha hava, it was Rosh Chodesh, hava nagale, nagale velo ata. He delayed and didn't come. Amarle, my time on Nagale Lamar. So when he showed up, eventually Rebbe said, why were you late today? Amarle, ad ukimna la Avraham, umashina yade umatzle, umangina le. I woke up Avraham, I washed his hands, he davened, and then I put him back to bed. Bechen li Yitzchak, bechen li Yaakov. And I had to do that to each of the avot, and that's what took me so long, and that's why I came late. So he asked the obvious question, but look, my behade hadade, why don't you just wake them all three up at the same time? Okay. Savre takfei berachamei umaitzalei l'mashiach below zimne. I was worried that it was going to be so strong their tefillot that it was going to bring the Mashiach when it wasn't its time to come. Okay, strange, a bit of a strange story about waking up the avot, having them pray, the power of their prayer. Okay, so now Rebbe sees, wow, what powerful tefillot they have. So he asks a good question. He says, V'yesh amarlei, v'yesh dugmatam ba'olam hazeh, is there anyone in this world who has that kind of power to daven, and what their davening can do? Amar lei, ika Rabbi Chiya ubanav. Okay, Rabbi Chiya and his sons, we get back to Rabbi Chiya again, that we've seen over and over in these stories. He is, you know, him and his sons together, wow, that could do it. Gazar Rebbe ta'anita, so Rebbe called a fast, achtinu le Rabbi Chiya ubanav, amar mashiva ruach v'nash v'zika. So he starts davening, right? Rabbi Chiya and the sons come up to daven for the Amud. They say, Mashiva Ruach, the wind starts blowing. They say, Morida Geshem, the Geshem starts coming. What's next? Right? Mechaye Meitim, okay? So, Kimata Lamemar Mechaye HaMeitim, Ragash Alma, the whole world shook. Okay, so now we're going to see what exactly happened here. Amre, okay, so this is like, you know, split screen. You see what's going on in the world, and now you're going to see what's going on in Shemayim at the same time, and why Ragash Alma. Amre Birakia, so they see what's going on up in the heavens, that the guy says, right, Rabbi Chiya says, Mashiva Ruach, and the wind comes. And Rabbi Chiya, you know, and his sons. And they say, Marina Geshem, and the Geshem comes, and they realize, oh my God, what's going to happen? They're going to say, Mechai Meitim, we're going to have to be Mechai all the Meitim. So they say, Man Gale Razia Ba'alma. Who's telling our secrets in the world? In other words, who told them that Rabbi Chiya had this power? Amre Eliyahu. So they said, Eliyahu did it. So at Yuhu le Eliyahu, they bring up Eliyahu to Shamayim, right? They immediately, right, Eliyahu always disappears, right? So they bring him up to Shamayim. Machyuhu shitim pulsa denura. Okay, they attack him with like 60 pulsa denuras. It's a...
lashes of fire.
Right, lashes of fire. Okay, it's a term that comes up here and there. So they basically beat him up. Ata idmi le keduba denura. He basically now dresses himself up as a fiery bear. Al benayhu v'tardinu. And he goes back down to you know, the shul where they're davening, and he messes them up. And that's what the Ragash Alma was, okay? He basically, you know, got everybody all upset, and they stopped davening. V'tardinu.
Does this suggest that Rabbi Chiya did not usually daven from the Amud?
Yeah, it does suggest that. Okay? Or maybe it was him together with his sons, it sounds like. In other words, sounded like they did a joint tefillah, just like the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the power of all of them together did it. It was interesting. Also, he wasn't in shul when they were davening, right? They had to bring him to daven. Although it's unclear. Maybe he was in shul and they just brought him to Dafka, daven for the Amud. That's actually more likely. But anyway, whether he was there or whether he wasn't, doesn't. Anyway, it's just a story. So, Shmuel Yarchina, now we're at a new story. Asiye de Rebbe Hava. Asiye de Rebbe. He was the, Shmuel Yarchina was the doctor of Rebbe. Havachalish Rebbe Be'ene. He had problems with his eyes. Amarle, imli lach sama. I'll give you some drops to put inside. Amarle, lo yachilna. It's going to hurt me too much. I'm not willing. This is the guy who, remember, had the kidney stones and was in terrible pain over that. Here, he couldn't handle the drops. Eshkalach Mishtar, I'll put it on. What it has is
gently salve on your eyes.
I'll gently salve it on your eyes. Okay. Amalei lo yachil. Now that I can't do either. Have a motiv le begufta desimne tute besade. He put it underneath tute is tachat his sadin. Okay, his sheets. He basically put the drugs under the pillow that he was sleeping on. Beitzi, and it healed him. Have a kamitzar Rebbe lemismeche. So what does Rebbe want to do now? He wants to give the guy smicha. He wants to call him Rebbe. Notice how Rebbe also did this with Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon's son, who wasn't worthy, right? He wanted to give him the title of Rebbe. And again, this goes back to what does this title of Rebbe mean, right? In other words, it's almost like giving someone an honorary doctorate. Right? As even though you didn't really do a doctorate, but you did something worthy, and I want to, right? Or in the other case, it was to encourage him to go learn Torah. And then there was, again, goes back, flips all the way back to the beginning of our stories with Rish Lakish, with the Rebbe. Sham Karula Rebbe, Kan Karula Rebbe, right? This whole term of Rebbe, what exactly does it mean, is a little bit thrown up in the air in these sugyas. So he wants to give him smicha, but lo hava mishtaya milta. But it didn't work because the guy wouldn't let him. The guy basically said, I don't want smicha. Amalei, so the Shmuel Yerchanai says to him, lo litztar amar, don't get upset about it. Lididi chazi li sifra de Adam Arishon. I saw the book of Adam Arishon, right? The assumption is there. It tells what's going to be with everybody in the world. Uktiv be, Shmuel Yachinai Chacham Yitkare, the Rebbe lo Yitkare. Va'asur de Rebbe al yado tehe. So he said, it says in the book, that Shmuel Yachinai is going to be a Chacham, he will not be a rabbi, and Rebbe will be healed by his doing. And what he's basically saying is, I don't need any more kavod than that. You know, I did my part in life and I'm happy with that, and I don't need titles, I don't need, right? I don't need smicha. Again, a little bit of this issue of, you know, what does it mean to have smicha and what does it mean to have the title Rebbe and what are titles all about? Okay. Now, this interesting line comes up, which is a famous line that you probably heard. If not, good to hear it now. Exactly what it's doing in this context, I don't know. I find it surprising that it's here. Rebbe v'Rabbi Natan, I mean, it's here because we've been talking about Rebbe a lot. So now we're saying Rebbe v'Rabbi Natan sof Mishnah, Rav Ashi v'Ravina sof Hora'ah. This is where we know that, what does this mean? Rebbe and Rabbi Natan are the end of the Tkufat HaTanaim. Okay, they end the Tkufa, and most of them say, and also Rebbe obviously is known to be the one who put together the Mishnah. And Ravina v'Rav Ashi are sof Hora'ah, which means they end the Tkufat HaAmoraim. And their unique was that they kind of put together the Gemara. Okay, again, what that means, what was there, what they, you know, they organized it, all different opinions about what exactly they did. Okay, so that's a famous line. Why it's here, I'm not exactly sure. I guess we're having discussions about all kinds of rabbis, and I guess particularly we had a lot of stories about Rebbe, so they're telling it. V'simanech, and how do you remember that Ravina Rav Ashi or Sof Hora'ah? Here's a pasuk that has a remez to it. Ad avoa mikdashi al avina la'acharitam. Okay, until I get to the mikdash, I will not understand what will be in the end. So what do we learn from this? Mikdashi ends like ashi, and avina is like ravina. Okay, and they're la'acharitam. They're at the end. Okay, so that's the remez in the pasuk to remember Rav Ashi v'Ravina sofara. Okay, Amar Rav Kahana. Ishtaili Rav Chama Barbarte dechasa. Okay, so this... I was told this by Rav Chama, the son of the daughter of Chasa. Rabba Bar Nachmani agav shmada nach nafshe. Rabba Bar Nachmani got killed because of ashat hashmad, okay? Because of like issues with the non-Jews, okay? Here Rashi says it's mipnei emata malchut, right? This is a better way of saying it, from fear of the king. Okay, fear of the king of the town. We're going to see now a long story about him until we finally get to how he dies. Okay, who is this? This is Rabbi Bar Nachmani. He's the rabbi that we see, right? He took in Abaye when Abaye's mother died. So right before he was born, actually, and his mother died in childbirth. And Rabbi Bar Nachmani was the uncle, and he took him in. And that's one thing we know about him. He was, you know, he's always... He appears in many, many sugyas. He was a big adult. So anyway, here we're going to see what his fatal end. Rabba Bar Nachmani agav shmada nach nafshe. So what happened? Achlu be kurtza be malka, which means that they tattletailed on him to the king. Okay, what did he do? Amru, ikacha gavra be Yehudai, tekamavatel tracer alfe gavra mi Yisrael, yarcha bakaita ve yarcha bestava mikarga de malka. This guy is basically preventing 12,000 gvarim Yisrael, 2 months, a year of paying the karga de malka, that's the taxes. Okay, he's preventing people from taking the taxes. Why is that? What happens twice a year? The Yarchei Kala. And if you know this, there were these Yarchei Kala before the Chagim, before Pesach, before Rosh Hashanah. They would have a month worth of learning. People would stop working. They would learn. It was also seasonal. There was less work to do in terms of the fields at those months. And they would basically stop working. And because of that, they weren't, first of all, they would go to the rabbi, so they weren't home when the tax collectors came, possibly. Or some people actually claim, I saw a note in the Koran that that they actually stopped paying taxes altogether because based on these 2 months, they claimed they were Talmidei Chachamim, and then they tried to get out of paying taxes. Because if you remember, the Talmidei Chachamim had a pter from tax. Now, if you turn all the Jews into Talmidei Chachamim, because they all go learn twice a year, so, you know, they were trying to do that, that's possibly. Or it just meant that they weren't paying for those 2 months because they weren't working and not making money. Or they just weren't home to be when the tax collectors came. So all different possibilities as to why they weren't paying taxes. Shadru pristika demak. So basically, who do they blame? The rabbi who's teaching them. That's rabbi. So they send pristika demalka, the messenger of the king, Batrei, to find him. Below eshkache, he can't find him. Why can't they find him? Because he ran away. Arak ba'azami pupadita. Now this is a strange path he takes. He goes from pupadita to akra, me'akra la'agma, me'agma l'shchin, m'shchin l'tzrifa, mitzrifa le'ena demayam, u'me'ena demayam l'pupadita. He ends up somehow, in all his travels, he ends up back in pupadita. I'm not sure why. And you're going to see, it was a big mistake. Because Pupadita eshkache, he is found in Pupadita. Now, it's not because he wasn't hiding, but what happened? He was hiding in someone's inn. Ikla pristika demalka lahu ushbiza de rabba. Okay, he ends up going to the same inn that Rabba's hiding out in. Krivu tacha kamei, they bring a table for this guy. That's how they did things, right? They brought tables and they, you know, taking off the table was basically like clearing off. So they brought a table for him, right? People sat low on the floor and they had little tables in front of them. So they bring a table before him, this pristika demalka, vashkua tre kase, and they give him 2 cups to drink. Vidalyua letacha mikamei, and they take the table away from him. Now there's a thing, I don't know if we came across this, I think we did, but that you're not supposed to drink bizugot. We actually did see a whole sugya on this. You're not supposed to drink in even numbers of cups. You're supposed to only drink in odd numbers of cups. Why? Because the shadim. It's a thing about the shadim. The shadim attack when there's even numbers and not odd numbers. It's one of these, you know, superstitious things. So, it's unclear whether they did this on purpose or not on purpose. I don't think they did it on purpose. But they gave him 2 glasses and they walked away. They didn't know this thing about the 2 cups. You'll see why. How I know that they didn't know. So, hada partsufe la'achore. Okay, his face, like, does a 180, okay? His face turns around and it's backwards now. Okay, or his neck goes back. There's different interpretations what exactly it means. His neck goes back and he can't move it. Something bad happens to him. Amrele, mayni avidle. They say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Gavra demalkahu, right? He works for the king. We're going to get in trouble. They're going to think that we poisoned him. Amar lehu. So what is Rabbi Bar Nachmani? He's the big Talmid Chacham. He knows about these shadim. Krivu tacha lekameh. Bring a table before him. Bashkiu chag kasa. Bring him 1 more cup and then take the table away, okay? Let him drink that 1 cup, take the table away immediately so he doesn't drink an even number. And he'll be healed. So he gets healed, thanks to Rabbi Bar Nachmani. But what happens? Amar, the guy is very smart, this pristika demalki, says, Meida yadana degavra rabba kavi'ina hacha. Okay? I know this guy must be here because that's a great guy and he must be the guy I'm looking for. So he goes to look for him and he finds him. Amar azilna meha. I'm gonna go now. Imiktal katlu lahu gavra lo maglina. If they kill me, I won't tell them. In other words, again, there's a few different interpretations here of what goes on because you'll see there's some jump in the story that doesn't really make much sense. But one way of reading it is he basically appreciates that he saved his life. And he says, listen, if they kill me, Hahu Gavra, he's talking about himself in third person. Okay, he's saying, if they kill me, I won't tell them about you. V'i nagide man gedinle, but if they torture me, maglina, I will tell them. Okay, because torture I can't handle. But death I could deal with, which is strange. Anyway, whether... Now, y'all have to understand, there's two interpretations. One is that he actually was face-to-face with Rabbah, and this is what he said. And then the next line is, Atiu lekameh. Okay, they bring him before him. Now, who do they bring him before? Okay, maybe the point is they tortured the guy and they turned him in, and now they bring him before the king. That's one way of reading it. Another way of reading it is that this whole thing... He realized that Rabbah Bar Nachmani was there, and he said to the people, bring him to me, but I won't kill him. Okay? In other words, unless they torture me, I won't turn him in. But then, Atiu Lekameh, according to this version, they bring him before him, and he lied, basically. It was just a farce to get, right? In other words, it was just a fake thing to get Rabbah to come, and Rabbah shows up, Ilei la Adrona, they put him in a some sort of, you know, like jail, prison type thing, or some sort of box, you know, they cage him in. Vitarke lababa ba'ampe, and they close the door before him. What did they say? A cell. Okay, a cell. So whether it was the king or whether it was this guy himself, it's not exactly clear who turned, you know, how he got turned in exactly. That part's missing in the story. By Rachame, okay, again, we're going to see another theme of this power of tefillah. Okay? What they're showing here, this is very similar. If you remember in Ta'anit, we had all these stories with these rabbis who, you know, certain rabbis were known that their tefillah would get accepted immediately. So here, Rabbah asked for rachamim, parak ashita. The walls crumble around him, okay? Arag va'azilag. That's a good way to escape from jail, right? Pray to God, the walls fall apart, and you just run off. So, he runs off, la'agma, to the agam. Havayatev agidra didikula. He was standing by a stump of a palm tree. V'kagaris. And he was learning. Kamiflage b'mitivte direkia. Okay, now, at the same time, okay, so again, we get the split screen. At the same time, there was a machloket going on in Shamayim. Okay, in the yeshiva of Shamayim. Im baheret kodemet l'seara lavan tamei. This is what they were learning. This is about Tumat Negaim. Okay? If the Beheret comes before the Se'ar Lavan, the Beheret was this the skin turns whitish or something, the leprosy, and then the Se'ar Lavan comes out, then it's Tameh, then the person's Tameh. But if the Se'ar Lavan comes before the Beheret, it's Tahur. Safek, what if it's Safek? What if you're not sure which came first? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Tahur. Here's the Machloket in Shamayim. God said it's Tahur. B'kulu Mitivta D'Rakia. And the whole Yeshiva Shamayim, Amrei Tameh. So they say, V'Amrei Ma Nochach. Who's going to be Machriya? So what do they say? Nochach Rabbah Bar Nachmani. Da'amar Rabbah Bar Nachmani. Now here you're going to have an interesting line. Until now we've seen Rabbah Bar Nachmani as this great scholar, right? Why did they say he's the one? Because Rabbah Bar Nachmani said about himself, here comes in the arrogance, Ani yachib negaim, ani yachib ohalot. I am the only one who really knows negaim. I'm the only one who really knows ohalot, right? I am the expert. So now you see, being an expert doesn't always work to your advantage. Because in this case, if they need him in the yeshiva shel shamayim, how's the only way he's going to get there? To die. So, shadrish shlicha batrei, lo hava matze malach hamavet lemikrevle. Right? So they send the shaliach to go get him, meaning the malach hamavet, but the malach hamavet can't get near him. Why can't they get near him? This is something we've seen stories of this. I think it's told about David HaMelech. Midelo hava kapasik pume migirse. Right? He didn't stop learning. He was always learning. And the malach hamavet can't come while you're in the middle of learning Torah. Adahachi nashav zika. All of a sudden, a big strong wing comes. V'avish b'ene kane. It makes this noise between the reeds. Savar, what is Rava? Remember, why did Rava die? What was the beginning of the story? From the Emat HaMalchut, the fear of the Malchut. Mm-hmm. So what happens? He thinks that they're after him because he was running away, remember? He thinks it's the Gunda de Parashe. It's the Gedudim of the, you know, of the Parashim, the henchmen. Hu Amar, Tinach Nafshe Dahu Gavra, V'lo Yimaser B'yada de Malchuta, right? So he says, please help me, right, that I won't be, I'd rather die, basically, he says. Tinach nafshe. My nefesh should be nach, right? I should die. Better than to be turned into the machut. So, obviously, he dies. Kiava kanicha nafshe. Amar, as he's dying, what does he say? Tahor, tahor. Ah, there's the answer, right? Yatzta bat kov amra. Ashrecha rabba bar nachmani shegufcha tahor v'yatzata nishmacha b'tahor. Okay, so basically he dies saying the words Tahur, which means he was siding with God in the argument. Okay? Yes. An interesting story. What's interesting about this story, okay, we'll go on a little bit more and then we'll talk about it, but there's an obvious connection between this story and the Rabbi Elazar and Horkinus story about Lo B'Shamayim Hi. What's interesting is the Rambam paskins we say Lo B'Shamayim Hi, the whole machloka was B'Shamayim, okay? But it was God versus all the rabbis, so to speak, in Shamayim. So the Rambam paskins like the rabbis in Shemayim, but not like God and not like the story holds, because he says we don't hold like that, which is very interesting. So again, there's this, I think in the sugya, we keep seeing the rabbis up in Shemayim, the rabbis in the Aretz, all the connection between Shemayim and the Aretz, and how much we're supposed to take that seriously, right? And how much we're supposed to, you know, separate from that whole thing and say that's not the way our religion works. Nachal Pitzka Merikia. Okay, what happens? Nobody knows the Rebbe died. So a petek comes down from Shemayim, Bepumpedita, and it says, Rebbe Bar Nachmani Nitbakesh B'Yeshiva Shamala. Okay, he's been wanted, right, in Yeshiva Shamala. So Nafku Abaye V'Rava V'Kula Rabbanan Liyasukebe, right? So Abaye Rav and all the rabbis go to deal with it. Lo Havayade Duchta, but they don't know where he is. Azula Agma, they go to the Agam. I guess they knew somehow he was there. Chazut Safre Demitala Levakaime. They see these birds that are basically like hovering over some area. So they realize that the birds must be protecting his corpse from the sun, from rotting. Amre, again, you see nature getting involved in, right, in things that are not exactly natural things. Amre, Shmami Nahatamu, he must be there. They find him. Sabdu Taltayome, they spend 3 days of Hespedim, which sounds like a lot, right? Metalta Lavata, and 3 nights. But Nafopitka, a petek, another petek falls. Kola Paresh Yehebenidoi. Anyone who stops being must be, that's not enough, basically. You got to keep on going. So Sabdu Shiva Yome, Nafopitka Lechu Lebatechem Leshalom. Okay, now you can go home. What this Nafopatka is, again, it's always a thing when you have these, you know, when we talk about Mazikin or we talk about other things, is it psychology, right? Is it people felt like, oh, maybe 3 days is not enough, or people maybe felt somehow that Rebbe Bar Nachman, you know, was dead, his presence was gone. They felt something, but it's not necessarily that something actually fell from Shemayim. And again, whether the story actually happened is a whole different thing, but the question is how to perceive that, you know, it could be that's how the people felt. Now we're going to have another story about the nature getting involved in his death. Hahu yoma dinach nafshe dalya zapa bedari lahu taya. There was an Arab guy walking, a taya'a, that's an Arab guy. He was walking and a big wind took him and blew him. Ki rachid gamla, while he was riding his gamal, mehai gisa denahar papa v'shadi v'hach gisa. Okay, they took him from one side of the Nahar Papa to the other side of the Nahar Papa. I never knew there was a Nahar Papa, but interesting. They blow him off to the other side of the Nahar. Amar, my high, he says, what is all this? Amre Le, I don't know who exactly told him about this, but Nach Nafshe de Rabba Bar Nachmani. Okay, so now we're going to have this Arab guy who has a conversation with God, okay? So they say, Rabba Bar Nachmani died. Amar Lefanav, okay, interesting, an Arab guy would speak in these terms, Ribono Shel Olam, okay, God, right, Master of the Universe. Kule Alma Ditchahu, the whole world belongs to you. Rabba Bar Nachmani Ditcha, right, and he's yours, he belongs to you. At de Rabba, Rabba Didach, this is like Anila Dodi V'Dogi Li, right? You love him, he loves you. Amai Kamacharev Le Alma. So I don't get it. Now he's with you. Like, what are you burning what are you destroying the world for? Nach Zapa. Okay, so God listens to this guy, and the whole tumult ends, okay? I think that part of what's going on here, in terms of this discussion of, we had a whole thing about what happens to the rabbis in Shemayim, and now we're seeing about Rabbi Nachmani's death, and I think part of this is trying to put a positive spin on death, and trying to understand that there's an afterlife. In other words, that don't think that because they died, that's necessarily a bad thing. Like here, maybe Rabba, right, this is the rabbi's way of saying, maybe he was needed in Shemayim for something. Maybe, you know, maybe things go on there that we don't understand. It goes back to the very beginning when we talked about that each person has his place, right? If you're at Tzaddik, there's each one has its place, and there's yeshivot going on there, and it's trying to talk about that there's life after death. And maybe that's one of the things they're trying to highlight here, even though right? Again, they don't really understand. You know, they even start with saying, they almost brought Tchiyat HaMetim, but then they didn't, right? And they could have brought them the Mashiach, but they didn't. So anyway, it's quite strange, these stories. What exactly they do with them, I don't know. I don't have a good answer to why this, specifically the machloket they were having was about the Beheret before the Seir HaLevan and the Seir HaLevan before the Beheret. I tried to think about what the imagery there was. I didn't come up with anything. But I'm sure there's a lot, you know, that one can make out of these stories. I just right now see themes going across. The arrogance theme, the afterlife theme, the power of tefillah theme. Okay. You know, here even, what's interesting about this is, who's the one who figures out and causes this storm to end? Some Arab guy who doesn't even understand from Judaism, right? In other words, sometimes, you know, it's teaching you that sometimes an outsider's perspective, he has a lot more insight into the situation than the insider's perspective. That's also something coming up here, which relates a little bit to the Chacham ben Amaretz, right? And that kind of, that sometimes the perspective or the Rish Lakish type, sometimes somebody coming from the outside, it's another theme that's repeated in a bunch of these stories. The outsider's perspective sometimes can shed light on situations. In this case, it saved people, because if that had, you know, it continued the weather like that, it sounds like the movie Frozen, right? Where it causes all sorts of bad things to happen. Okay. Rabbi Shimon chalafta baal basar hava. We kept hanging out with the overweight, obese people. Yom achad hava chamim alei. It was very hot for him. Hava salik v'yativ ashena detura. He was sitting at, I guess, the top of the mountain. So it means amale the barte biti hanifa alai b'minifa. Please wave a fan. You know, fan me, please. I'm very hot. And what will I do as a result? Right, this is bribery to your children. Vani aten lach kikarin dinerd. I'll give you a certain amount of nerd as these. I forget, what is it? I forgot how they translate nerd. What does it say there?
One of the spikes that's used for perfume.
That's what I thought it had to do with perfume. Okay, so these shibul, what is it?
Aromatic plant.
Okay. So I would give you this perfume. Adahachi nash vazika. Right away, right, what happens? A huge wing comes, right? Much more than the fan. Amar kama kikrin diner lebari dechi. How many now of this perfume do I need to give to God for bringing that upon me? Okay, in other words, thank you, God, for answering my request. Here, he didn't even ask it of God, right? It wasn't even a tefillah. Okay, hakol kimin haga medina. Now we're going back to, okay, we're done with the stories for now. Like I said, we'll go back to some other things, some other agadotot later in the daf. But right now, we've ended this section with all these rabbis. Like we said, a lot of critique of them, a lot of, you know, on the one hand, critiquing some of them, idolizing others of them, relating to them after death, etc. Okay, now, if you remember, who can remember, but we had our Mishnah that we started the parak with, was all about how much food you have to give to them, and whether you can make them work extra hours, and it's hakol kimin haga medina. So, why does it say hakol kimin haga medina? Because it already said, if it's a makom shenagu this, makom shenagu that. So what does it say? It seems extra. Hakol atuye mai, latuye ba'atra dinahige mikrach rifta umishta, anpika. It's a place where they generally would break their bread and drink with the balabayit. You would get to work in the morning and he would give you food. Now, if he says to you, Kadimu, go start working, and I'll bring your food later because the food's not ready yet, he's not allowed to do that. They could say to him, Lo kol kaminach. That's not part of our deal. The minhag ha-makom is we eat before we work. Don't tell me I'll give you breakfast at 10 after you've already done 2 hours of work. Okay. Maseh b'Rabban Yochanan ben Matya. Okay, if you remember this, what did the Mishnah say? Hakol kiminhag ha-makom, right? But then it brought this maseh where he promised him, right? They promised him food, and then the father said, Oi, take back what you said because you'll have to, right? Even if you say you promised him a suda of Shlomo, they're the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were greater. Their suda was greater than Shlomo. Today we're going to get into, was their suda really greater than Shlomo? How do we know this? Okay, because if you remember, there's huge descriptions about the food in Shlomo's house and how much there was. And if you look at the beginning of Sefer Melachim, it's all the description of the food and all that. There's many prakim about it, and all the gold he had and all the silver and all of his wealth. And could it really be that that's the case? But anyway, he says, take back what you said. So that seems to contradict what it seems to contradict what the Mishnah said, because the Mishnah said Akol k'minhag ha'makom, and clearly the minhag ha'makom was not to feed huge, huge meals to their poalim. So what do they answer? Chisur machasr v'hachi katani. V'im pasach lahem mizonot, if he was specific against the minhag ha'makom, then riba lahem. Okay, then he gave them, if he gave them more than the minhag, then he would need to give them. And here's the ma'aseh, ma'aseh nami. So it was missing those words, okay? In other words, akol k'minhag ha'makom, but im riba lahem, well, then he has to keep to his commitment. And there was a ma'aseh, bi Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya shamar la b'no. Now we're just repeating the story. Seus korlanu po'alim, go hire us workers, halachu pasak lahem mizonot, promise them food, k'shabayit tel aviv, amar lo b'ni, afilu atau selen k'sudat shlomo b'sha'ato, lo yatzati yidei chobat chayim ahen, shehem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Okay, and therefore, no. Now the Gemara is going to say, l'meimer d'sudata d'Avram avinu adifu mid'shlomo? Was his meal really bigger than Shlomo? Now we have testimony both about Abraham's meal with the angels, and which, by the way, is going to relate back to angels, and we're going to get back into the angel theme that we were discussing, and the meals of Shlomo. So what does it say about Shlomo? Melachim Aleph Perek Hey, it says, Vayihi lechem Shlomo liyom echad, 30 kor solet v'shishim kor kemach, 10 bakar bri'im v'10 bakar ri'i, u'me atzon, levad me'ayil v'tzvi v'yachmor baburim avusim. Okay, that sounds like a pretty big meal. Amar Gurion ben Istion Mishmei de Rav, halalu le'emilan shel tabachim, b'yitzchak amar halalu le'tzikei kedera. Both of them say that this was just, these amounts given were just for the emilan, what do they call it? It's like the stuff that makes the bread, the starch. Yeah. It's just the starch that you put in. In other words, it wasn't even for the bread. It was just for the starch that you put in the bread. In other words, it wasn't for the main part. All those amounts, which were so great, were just the side things. The tzike kedera are like these, almost like a chulin thing that they would make, and they would put a little bit of the bread, you know, the flour or whatever inside. In other words, however exactly you understand them, it wasn't the main part of the food even. Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, elef nashim ayu l'shlomo. Here, you ready for how much food was cooked? You want to talk about waste? Kol achav echad asalu bebeita kach. My time, zos for Hashem etzli so'ed ayom, v'zos for Hashem etzli so'ed ayom. Okay? He had 1,000 wives, and each of them would make him dinner, basically, thinking that maybe today he's going to come eat with me. So think about how much food was consumed, right? I don't know if it was all consumed, but it was prepared every day for Shlomo HaMelech. Okay? That's 1,000 times the amount of meals he would need. V'ilu gabei Avraham tiv, v'ela bakar ratz Avraham, v'yikach ben bakar rach v'tov. How much is that? V'am Rav Yehuda Amarav, ben bakar chad, rach shnayim v'tov shlosha. It comes out to 3 bakarim. Okay, they darshan here. Soon we're going to see why they darshan like this. But they darshan, right? Instead of saying it was a ben bakar that was rach v'tov, that was, right, soft, tender meat and good. No, they say ben bakar means 1, rach means 2, tov means 3. There were 3 bakar. Okay, that's a lot less than Shlomo. Hatam talta tore le talta gavre. Ah, but there, how much food was he making for? 3 bekarim for 3 people, right? 3 ox for 3 people. Hacha lechol Yisrael v'Yehuda. But Shlomo's food was feeding the entire nation. Shenemar, and how much was the entire nation? Yehuda v'Yisrael, rabim kechol asher alayam. Okay, so what do you see? He was cooking for the amount of people as there are sand in the earth. Okay, so basically, proportionally, Abraham made a lot more food than Shlomo did. Despite the fact that Shlomo had so much more, it was being used to feed many, many people. Okay, now we're going to get up on all sorts of tangents about this. My barburim avusim. Okay, it says in the pasuk barburim avusim, that means fattened up barburim. What is barburim? Duck? Geese? What? Goose. Yeah. Okay. Amarav she'ofsino tam ba'al korchan. Here we're going to see 2 opposite opinions. One is they force-fed them. Okay, it sounds like what goes on nowadays, right? To fatten up the animals, they force-feed, right? Very unpleasant. Shmuel amar she'avusim ba'omdim alehem. No, they were naturally fat. Okay, dafka the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan amar, mivi'im tor mimarito b'delo anis, b'tarnigolim ashpata b'delo anisa. This sounds a little bit like the, if you remember the egla rufa and the The para aduma are supposed to be ones that never worked in their lives. That's what they're saying. They took animals that never worked in their lives. And that's what it means. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mufchar Sheba Behemot. Okay, I'm going to tell you what are the best of the best of the animals. Mufchar Sheba Behemot, sure. Okay, the best behema is a sure. It's the most, the best one. Mufchar Sheba Fot Tarnigolet. Okay, Amar Ameimar, Zagta Uchmita Be Betnita. Okay, what is this? This is a zagta, is a type of tarnigolet, uchmata. It comes from uchmadiot, that are blueberries, but they're really, it means black here. It's a black tarnigolet, bebitnita, it has a big stomach, that hangs out bene atre, between the, by the grapevines. What do? She's constantly picking grapes. Okay, and because she eats so many grapes, okay, who knew grapes make you really fat, according to this, right? She eats so many grapes, she's so fat that she can't even walk through the grapevines. Okay, that's the best of the birds, okay, saying this kind. Ve'ela bakar ratz Avraham. By the way, it's interesting, they're talking about fat animals before we talk about fat human beings. There's a lot of this discussion here. Ve'ela bakar ratz Avraham, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ben bakar achad rach shnayim v'tov shlosha, ve'im achad kedam rein she rakach v'tov. Right? Why don't you just say it was one? It was, you know, soft and tender and good. Im kein lichtov rach tov, my v'tov shmamin aladrasha. So they say because it says rach v'tov, it could have just said rach tov. It was good tender meat. Right? You wouldn't say it was tender and good. You would say it was good tender meat. Right? One would describe the other. So now they're saying, because it says vitov, that's ledrashein. So then they say, well, if that's the case, there's only one vi, right? Which means it should be the ben bakar, rach, and then vitov. There should be two. Ematre. Mi ditov ledrashein, rach nami ledrashein. Okay, once you're darshening one word, let's darshen also the other word. Matav rabba bar ula, v'item rav hoshaya, v'item rav natan bar rabbi hoshaya. Okay, one of these guys asked a question. Vayitain el hanar v'maher la'asot oto. Ah, what does it say? He went, right? He went to the nar and told him to prepare the meat. Sounds like one. Kocha b'cha yave l'nar chad. He gave each one to a different nar, right? He wanted the food to be ready quickly. Okay, that sounds good, but what's the issue? Vayikach chama v'chalav uben habakar asher asa. By the way, right, there's always a problem in this pasuk that he brings milk and butter with meat. Asher asa. Vayitain lifnehem. So what does he put? The ben bakar asher asa. Again, it's singular, right? They bring it out, singular, one. So what do they say? Dekama kama, dematia aite lekamayhu. Now, each one came, right? It's not like a fancy restaurant where they bring out all the food at the same time, right? Different waiter comes, and all at the same time, three waiters bring your food to the table. Now, each one came at a different time. So this pasuk repeated itself basically three times. As they brought before one, the chema and the bakar, and the, right? And then they brought before the other, the chema and the chalav and the ben bakar, and they brought before the others. So, v'lama li talta, tiski b'chad, right? Why did they have three? Why didn't they just do, why wouldn't one have been enough for all three people? Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, kedei la'achilan shalosh l'shanot b'chardal. There was this delicacy of tongue with mustard, and if you had one animal, right, you'd only have one piece of tongue, and they wanted each of them to have that piece of tongue. Okay. Amar Rav, not a good daf for vegetarians. Amar Rav Tanchu bar Chanilai, le'olam al yishaneh adam min haminhag. Okay, people should never change from the minhag. Sharei, what does this mean for minhag ha-makom? Okay, if we're going to talk about minhag ha-makom of hiring workers, now we're going to get to, don't change from the minhag ha-makom, and this connects to our stories of the place where you are. Shaharei, Moshe ala l'marom, again, we're getting back into people going from Shamayim to Aretz. Moshe ala l'marom v'lo achal lechem. Right, when he was up in Shamayim getting the Torah, he didn't eat bread. Right, even though angels don't eat in the heaven, we see from the story angels ate on earth. What does it mean? They really ate? Right, they appeared as if they were eating. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kol shasa Avraham lemalchei asharei batzmo. Everything Avram did himself. Asah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lebanav Batzmo. God paid him back by doing for his children by himself. Okay, so anything you did by a shaliach, God sent a shaliach. What are these things? Ve'ela bakar ratz Avraham. Okay, right? Ve'ruach nasam me'et Hashem. What's this? This is the slav. When God gives to them, you know, they complain for meat, they got the meat. How did it come? Straight from God. Ve'ikach chema v'chalav. So also, Avraham takes the bread and the butter. Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. God gives Bnei Yisrael the man. V'hu omer alehem tachad ha'etz. Right, he stands to wait for the people to come. Hineni omer lefanecha sham al ha'tzur. And God, when he gives them water from the rock, he says, I'm going to be waiting for you on the tzur. Rabaham holech imam l'shacham. And then Avraham escorts them out. Vashem olech lifnehem yomam. This is the Amud Anan that protected us in the Midbar. Yukach na ma'at mayim. He offers them water. V'ikita batzur v'yatsu mimenu mayim. God gives us water in the Midbar. V'shata. V'shata ha'am. Upliga de Rabbi Chami b'Rabbi Chanina. This is different, though, from what Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina says. I'm Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. V'chein tana de Rabbi Yishmael. Bischar shlosha zachu l'shlosha. He says there's only three things, okay? And the reward of three things he did, Bnei Yisrael was zochet for three. What were they? Chema v'chalav zachu l'man. That's the same. Bischar v'hu omer alehem zachu l'amura anan. Okay, same thing. Bischar yukach na ma'amayim. Here it's a little bit different. Okay, besides that he's missing a few, he also says, Bischar yukach na ma'amayim, he offers them water, zachu l'be'erah shel Miriam. Okay, not for getting water from the rock, but the be'erah of Miriam. Maybe they want to mention the rock because it wasn't exactly the most positive experience there. Yukach na ma'amayim v'rachatzu raglechem. Okay, so now there's a drash about what exactly this, there was an interaction that went on between him and the malachim. He offers them some water to wash their feet. Amar b'yanei b'Rabbi Shmuel, amrulo, they answered him back, v'chiba arviyim chashaditanu? Do you think we're arviyim? Shehem eshtachavim l'avak raglehem? Right, what's the issue? If you bow down, right, the aravim, apparently in those times there were people who worshipped the dust of their feet, which means if he's telling them to wash their feet off, wash the dust off, he's trying to test them. Are they Arabs or not? That's what they say to him. Are you testing us to see if we're these Arabs who believe in that? That's, you know, that we bow down to the avak, which means we wouldn't want to wash our feet off. Kfariyat, and then what do they say insultingly back to him? Kfariyat sami menu Yishmael. Who are you to think that we're Arabs? Look what came out of you. Which, by the way, a little bit relates to the earlier stories about watch what you say and how it might be perceived by other people. Right. If you go back to the Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish story, one of the interpretations was that when Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, oh, you're Eli's team and you know about all these things, he wasn't necessarily insulting him. He was just saying, oh, you might actually know about this. So it's what you say could be construed by somebody else as an insult, and they took this as insulting. Vayera elav Hashem be'elonim amrei v'hu yoshev petach ha'ol k'chom ayom. Mai k'chom ayom. This is a famous drasha you all know. Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, oto ayom yom shlishi shel milah shel Avraham haya, right? It was the third day after his brit milah. Uba kadosh baruch hu l'shol ba'Avraham, right? And God came to kind of see how he's doing. Hotzia kadosh baruch hu chama min artika. What did he do? He brought out the sun very strong, k'chom ayom. Kedei shelo yatriach oto tzadik be'orchim. Because he knew that Avram was going to always invite guests, and he knew it wasn't a good day for him, so he brought out the sons so he wouldn't invite guests. By the way, this could be also understood as he didn't want him to have other guests because he wanted him to be free for these angels who were coming along, right? He didn't want him to have other guests at the same time. Shadre l'Eliezer, l'mefak l'bara, he sent Eliezer to go outside, nafik below eshkach, to find guests, and he didn't find any guests. So in other words, it was this very hot day. Avram himself wasn't going out. He wasn't feeling well. He sends out Eliezer, right, the typical slave according to the Midrash, you know, his main slave, and he goes out and doesn't find any orchim. Amar lo mehem nalach, I don't believe you. Hainu da'amre, taman, this is what they say. Leitim nuta ba'avde, people don't trust their avadim, okay? So he didn't trust his eved. Nafik iu, he goes out himself. Chazia l'kadosh baruch hu dekai abava. And he sees God standing at his door. Hainu dechtiv, al ta'avor me'al avdecha. That's what it says in the pasuk. Right? He says, don't pass from me'al avdecha. Now, there's something weird in that pasuk. First it says, al ta'avor me'al avdecha. One second, let me just open the pasuk. You'll see. I'll end with this for today. He says, There's a problem in the Pesukim. This is what the Midrash is addressing, right? The Midrash generally addresses difficulties in the Pesukim. Right? He says they're standing right there. Right? Then he runs to greet them and they bow down. Okay, so he realizes that God is here. He says, please don't leave. Kevan dechaze dekaaser v'share, amar lav orch ara lemekam. One second. Kevan dechaze dekaaser v'share. Right, what is this that they were? Right. They see that he's bandaging and unbandaging himself. Amar lav orch ara. In other words, they realized that it wasn't appropriate for them to be there while he was doing undoing his bandages for his brit milah. And that's why it says in the pasuk, they're standing before him. And then a second later it says, if they were standing before him, why did he run out to greet them? First, they were standing before him. When they saw he was in pain and dealing with his bandages, and then he had to go run. Okay? So we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll see who were these people, what did they come for, what did each angel do. Okay, more about angels.